Welcome back, Rage Nation. Got myself Pete here.
Not really exciting.
You got Senior Dixon.
I don't think that's appropriate.
And you got Monsieur Leopard.
Explorers deserved it.
No.
Absolutely.
I was disgusted. I cannot believe they've done this.
Why is wacky? Why is that good? It's just nonsense.
I disagree on that. That's not possible.
We're getting the band back together. We're on a mission. Yeah.
Now we've got a whole new list of things to complain about.
Welcome back, Rage Nation. We are at it again. Got myself Pete here, and we are once again doing some more Guild Ball episodes. With me this time, we got Michigander Zach, because we don't say his last name. And with him, I guess, Tony, are you also from Michigan?
I am from Detroit.
Okay, and Zach, I can't remember. Are you Grand Rapids?
No, I'm up in the Cadillac area.
Oh, is that? Are you an Uber? Are you an upper person?
No, no. Good God, no. They don't have internet up there. Are you kidding me?
I thought the moose ran the internet. You know, they put the moose on the treadmill.
No, that's Canada.
Oh, okay.
No, I am decidedly a troll. I live under the bridge.
Gotcha. But yeah, we're going to talk about a couple things. We got both of you guys went to Adepticon, so we're definitely going to get into that. There was a local tournament that I ran the Vet Rage into. And then, just kind of talking about building some of this stuff up, because people are really enjoying playing Guild Ball, so it's been a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I've seen a lot of hype for it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of hype for it. But before we get into that, make sure that you guys are checking us out. You can do that at our Discord channel. Link will be in the notes for that. We also have YouTube, where we put different videos up. I actually just put up a video of the print on demand I got for the Brewers, which looked awesome. And then, if you want to support us directly, you can do that at patreon.com/ragequitwire, where you can support us. And you get cool things like episodes early. You get to hang out in the chat if you want. And you get to support the podcast. And if we get more Guild Ball people, we will get more Guild Ball content. So that's always something that is a nice little incentive when we see more and more people joining for the Guild Ball. So yeah, just I do this with everybody. We already kind of did this with Zach a little bit. But Tony, I wanted to ask you, since Guild Ball's come back, how has your area been kind of, you know, approaching it, and how you guys been enjoying the game and things like that?
I don't technically have a local area. I'm about an hour and a half drive to my nearest game.
So you drive an hour and a half to get you some Guild Ball?
I do. I drive an hour and a half north every Wednesday and an hour and a half south every Friday.
Oh, there you go. Oh, man, you're doing it twice a week, huh?
Twice a week. Nice. So both places, we got a good good group of people, probably about 8 or 10 up in Bay City and probably 4 or 6 down in Monroe.
Nice. Yeah. And I know, Zach, you've been driving a bunch to get some Guild Ball as well.
I mean, I have to drive no matter where I'm going to play. I live up in the frigid north. And so haven't been out to the Bay City yet. That's a good hour and a half or so drive for me as well. Monroe, good Lord, that's like a 3-hour drive, I want to say.
Hey, man, I live in Grand Rapids, it's like 2 hours to anything.
Right. And so Grand Rapids is like an hour and a half. So if any of those groups are doing things during a time in which I'm available, it's going to be at least minimum hour and a half. Though the store that we've been playing at, it's like a half hour away. So that's not bad at all.
And I was kind of, like, are you guys noticing newer players? Are you guys noticing people who've played the game before and they're just reinvigorated with the game?
Where I've been playing, it's we haven't had any new players. It's all the players that are coming back that haven't played since season 1 and 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's all those players are coming back.
You're digging up the crypts then, huh?
Yes. But they're basically like new players sometimes, you know? I mean,
right.
They've been away from it for so long.
Oh, yeah. Games changed quite a bit since season 1 and 2.
Yes.
It's actually been almost the exact opposite up here in my area. So far we got 3 brand new players. So we have returning players, myself, Corey and Tracy, we're all coming back. But my girlfriend, she got in, so that's a fourth. And then, she's immediately. She got real excited. But then I grabbed a coworker, and he's like the least flaky coworker I've ever tried to get into something like this. Typically, you know, I'll get somebody out, they'll demo a couple times, they'll spend $150 on stuff, and then they just stop showing up.
Yeah.
That's been my experiences in the past. But no, this guy Griffin, he came in, he demoed a bit. He's been running some of my random union models I've laying around. So he's been vet raging it up.
Yep.
Much like yourself. But he just got his pod order in. It looks fantastic. There's a couple blades that were broken off, but everything otherwise was in there. And then he brought a friend of his in yesterday for our game day, who demoed out on some farmers. I helped walk him through probably the most optimal turn one in existence with them. He got two goals and a takeout.
Oh, geez.
So Griffin has been kind of the punching bag for demos, but he really enjoys it. he basically keeps saying, he's like, man, like, I just enjoy like seeing how these things all work and how everybody's different and unique and cool.
Yeah.
So for him, he's like, oh, cool. You know, we're planting stuff and we're picking it up and we're moving extra stuff. And he got to experience running into Grange when he has all his auras and legendary up, and that went poorly for him.
Yeah, I think it's Guild Ball is an interesting game because it is one of the few games I feel like each individual model really gives you kind of like a feel and a fluff and a play style to that individual model. And anytime you switch out just even one model, it does bring a lot to the game and how the game can be played.
Oh, yeah. We also saw Shepherds for the first time on the table.
Yeah,
Tracy
nice.
Borrowed my, yeah, she borrowed my my Sheps just because she had Morts previously and wasn't really jiving with the play style. I'm like, hey, momentous 2-on-1, and she's like, sign me up. That sounds consistent, and she played it into order, and I was surprised. I honestly hadn't looked at them all that much, despite buying them. And apparently they have a bunch of ball hate, so she was having a great time.
Nice. Yeah, and Tony, what do you mostly play guild-wise?
I'm pretty big fisherman player. Yeah, I was farmers until it ended.
And you guys are like fire and water then, you and Zach.
Oh, yeah. We are.
I did an initial order of the print on demand when it first came available with the engineers, so I got all that. And I just got the brewers, and the last POD I have is Fisherman and Nav. So I'm going to be curious to see how that print goes off. So we'll see.
Yeah, because those are some of the ones that were on that list of like, hey, we needed to make some adjustments.
They got a lot of finicky bits, right? Fishermen always have like all these, like even the metal ones used to have a lot of really weak points on the models. So I'm not surprised.
I don't have a single straight spear, harpoon, or anything on my fisherman's team.
Hey, you know, as models get older, you know, things just tend to not work as well. I don't know what to tell you, but and they all have these like tiny spears that are just always getting bent and broken. And yeah, it's just, that's the guild, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help that half the guild's dainty ladies on one foot too.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how those come out. I'm very curious. That's because, you know, I got brewers, and I even said this in the video I posted on YouTube. I didn't expect many problems with the brewers models because they're just stocky models, like just thick, you know, boys and girls. And engineers is kind of the same way. Like some of the models that I expected to have problems with had some small problems, but yeah, I'm worried about fish.
Yeah, your brewers were gorgeous. They looked fantastic.
Yeah, and I didn't even touch, like, clean them up or anything. Like, that's just straight out the packaging. I was like, man, these came out, like, super good. No problems with the brewers. Get you POD brewers. No worries there. But, yeah, so that's kind of how I feel like just generally a lot of different people have been approaching Guild Ball, just kind of dusting them off, getting some games back in, and just really enjoying it. So... Yeah, I want to just, I got you guys on because I wanted to talk about just Adepticon, because I did see that a lot of people brought Guild Ball stuff. So I was just kind of talk to you guys about your experiences there and the general vibe people were having for the game.
Oh, there was a lot of people there. At least on Saturday, we had a couple tables set up, and the amount of people that came by for a game, it was amazing how many people showed up. But we only had two tables. You can only get so many games in.
Yeah, and it was funny because I think Zach sent me a picture, and I'm like, wait, is that the Alex Botts and Zach Gray?
Yeah, yep. That was game two on Saturday.
Zach always had a tough go with Alex, so I don't know how that game went, because Alex plays very cagey and Zach's kind of just, you know, he'll do what he needs to do to win. So I'm kind of curious on how those games went.
Well, I got it recorded, so.
How nice. Are you going to post that somewhere?
I'm going to post it on my channel here one of these days.
Nice. What's your YouTube channel?
It's the Mid-Table Gamer.
I respect that.
That's about where I play. So
he says as he's been topping everything he's been doing lately.
Well, you get better after.
Well, and this will kind of go into the discussion later when we talk about kind of just the event I went to. And I was talking to some people about it when I kind of shared some of my thoughts playing Vet Rage. And when you have kind of like a newer game or like a newer meta, a lot of people I was talking to, and I kind of see it, they're like, yeah, aggro does very good early on in a game when it's coming back. But as like metas start to develop, you get a little more control and people understanding like how to counter stuff again. So they were like, yeah, I think the aggro stuff's going to do very well early on as we get back into it. But then the control stuff will be like popular later because you'll have answers to those questions.
Well, a lot of it right now, I think, is the players on Vassal. We're playing with a lot of European players. So we're playing that European style of Guild Ball,
yeah,
as opposed to the old Chicago style we played years ago. And once the Chicago guys get back in and into it and start showing people how to play the control game again, I think we're going to see it a lot more.
Yeah, the Chicago ball of like, I'm going to drop the ball off in the middle of the pitch where you can't get to it. And, you know, I'm going to sit here defense 5 or 6 in cover and, you know, yep, just kind of take you out and, you know, prison you and just kind of farm the crap out of you for momentum. Which, not going to lie, I was doing a little bit of that myself at this tournament. There was, I actually made one of my good friends, Brian, we played in, I guess you could call it the final, because it was round 3 and we were both undefeated. And he was playing Hunters and he brought the bear and Edge was nearby. So I ended up farming the bear with Gutter and just scything blowing the bear and just also hitting and just splashing that into Edge, and Edge just horribly died.
Oh no.
I haven't had an opportunity to play against Edge yet, honestly.
Edge is super good. I am super impressed with that model. Like, if you're snared,
anybody pass out snare like that.
Yeah. If you have snared on a model, you might as well not even counterattack Edge, because what, Edge gets like a built in dodge or double dodge with like a snared model.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's good. So I was impressed by it. I was like, yep, that model has to die.
And Edge can just come in and snare from a range and snare your whole team real quick. Before you know it, your whole team is snared.
Yep. Yeah, so it was definitely fun to pull off those kind of aggro tricks, but control is going to kind of come around, I think, as people get used to the game again.
Honestly, I've been seeing a lot more ball teams than I'm used to. Tony and I were kind of like talking about this a little bit beforehand, but it feels like a lot of people had like the Order in particular as like a side project back in the day.
Yeah.
And now after coming back, everybody's like, I'm going to play that other stuff instead of my main thing. So like, I've just been seeing a bunch of people playing Order, a bunch of people playing Fish, a bunch of just ball teams, just straight up.
Yeah. And I think people are also having fun playing the stuff that they couldn't get, or that just wasn't really too available. I know, like, the third captains for a lot of the guilds, I have no game. Like Rivet, I haven't played her before. I played one game with Corker about a month ago, And I haven't played Flea. I haven't played Nomad. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for that because I just get to play the stuff that I couldn't get a hold of.
Like Union had like a non-existent presence in our area because it was so hard to get your hands on back in the day.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that A, we got a brand new player running Union, and B, Union's even available to allow that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, waiting like, you know, because right now I think it's almost been 35 days for both the orders I ran. And I think 7 of those were technically in customs. So it's not even that long that you have to wait for your stuff. I mean, usually if you order from a store, you got to wait like 2 weeks anyways. So the fact this is overseas and you got to wait like a little over a month to get your stuff, I think that's reasonable, but I'm not impatient. So that's kind of where I am.
It's not too far off from what I'm used to when I order from the UK anyways. So
I think all the complaining you're seeing are the people that are used to next day Amazon stuff.
Yeah, these postmodern Amazon people, I tell you. Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, I know, Zach, you only got like a game or two in, right, at Adepticon?
Yeah, unfortunately, I only got one game in, and it was with my girlfriend. We showed up. There was only one table at the time. It was right after Bots and Gray played. So they got up, they left. So we're like, screw it, we'll sit down and play. Played through one game real quick. And then after that, it was just a matter of like scheduling for other events and just a table availability and when people were playing. Because quite frankly, if you did not have something going on those tables, like 100% of the time, if you have like full-time upkeep, somebody would come up and kick you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marketing. And like, thing.
Yeah, I mean, Tony can probably explain it better because, I mean, he was the one kind of holding down the fort up there. But
you had to like shoo people away so you could keep your tables.
God, you had to kick somebody's ass for a chair.
Yeah, we had to fight for tables. Friday, it was ridiculous. We didn't get a table really at all. Saturday, I got there at 7 a.m. to get a table, and I had to argue with the guy because at 7:15, I still hadn't started my game. And he's like, you're going to have to pack your stuff up if you don't get a game started.
Huh.
Luckily, my opponent showed up like 5 minutes later. So from 7:30, between me, Michael, who was on your show a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
and Zach Gray, we held those tables. We played pool hall rules. The winner gets to keep the table. So as long as you're winning, you get to keep playing. So we just constantly made sure between the three of us and all the random people that kept showing up that there was always somebody at the table.
We eventually got
a spot for a third game.
Yeah, it's almost like you guys had to filibuster the entire time just to keep your tables.
That's exactly what it was. And if we couldn't find an opponent, one of us would just jump in.
Nice. So is there not like a lot of free play area at Adepticon?
There is 20 tables.
And there's a crap ton of people.
Thousands.
Thousands of people, 20 free play tables.
I don't know. That's why Adepticon honestly has never appealed to me. It's just like, it's so like, I just get this picture of it being so crowded and bumping into nerds. And I like a con or a big GT that, you know, I have some breathing room to enjoy myself.
Yeah. I mean, like my only experience is with Gen Con, honestly. So like compared to that, it was real breezy. Everybody's tolerance for that will vary, of course, but I did find it strange that for like, what's supposed to be like the premier tabletop wargaming con, there was not more tables for people to just play games.
Yeah.
Right. Unless your game had a event there and had dedicated table space to it that you could use, you're kind of SOL.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really hoping happens next year.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think just people bringing stuff and wanting to catch a game, you know, because when you travel to a con, you really don't bring extra crap. So, I mean, people like legitimately were like, I want to play this with people at Adepticon. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's very promising to me.
Yeah, I mean, the number of people that showed up and were, I mean, like hell, just the number of people that, like, rolled by, like, oh, shit, Guild Ball, man, blah, 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 blah. Like, that was, like, a constant stream of things. There was people randomly coming up and just, like, giving away random Guild Ball shit. So, like, I know Isaac Abrahamson, he's from Michigan, right, Tony?
Yeah,
he's one of ours. Somebody just randomly walked up and gave him, like, a full metal, like, COG Guild Ball 50mm, like proxy.
Nice.
He's like, here, you can have this. And he's like, awesome?
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking at the link you sent me about all these games. I'm just like, of course Chris Schlegel was playing Rat Catchers. That's just right on brand for him. Okay, so, I mean, yeah. Anything else that just... I don't know if with all these games, especially you, Tony, since you were around it that Saturday specifically, but I mean, did you notice anything just, or were they just kind of pretty chill games? Or did you notice any kind of like common things people are starting to bring back to the game? Or, you know, you see more goal scoring versus like fighting teams or control teams? I don't know. I'm just asking for general things you might've noticed.
Well, like I said, I usually play on Vassal a lot, so I'm used to the goal scoring style.
Mm-hmm.
Getting there, playing against people like Zach, he's got that like that Chicago style to him a little bit.
Yeah,
and it was tough. It was tough to play against those guys, the Chicago guys, when they would show up.
Yeah,
everyone else was. It was a lot of goal scoring. I played the Order three times, I think. I played the Order three times. Masons twice. So, and everybody wants to score goals with Corbelli, with the Order.
Yeah, I haven't played against or even with Yukai before, but how is Yukai as a captain? Because I've heard people talk about tactics with Yukai, like having these double activations, because when you score a goal, your activation doesn't have to end. So, I mean, how I don't know, have you had any games either with or versus Yukai?
I play Yukai probably 75% of my games.
Oh, cool.
More so than Corsair. I don't play Shark at all. so it's just Corsair or Yukai. The skill floor is really high for Yukai, but the ceiling is, it's not even there. It's such a complicated model.
Yeah.
The things that you can do when your turn doesn't end. It's just the little things. You save Fathom's 2-inch acrobatic dodge for after the goal, just in case.
Yeah.
I get sucked into that style though. So when I don't play Yukai, I get into trouble because I will heal my models with the momentum from the goal instead of healing my models before the goal.
Gotcha.
So then I go play another captain and I'm like, I take the goal and I go to heal myself. But your turn's over.
Yeah, let me ask you
stuff like that.
Yeah, let me ask you about just playing Yukai, just because Yukai is definitely I can only imagine it takes like a lot getting used to, but there's got to be certain situations where there's a bad ball scatter and you could almost get two goals in one activation.
I've done it. I've gotten the two goals in one activation. It was basically you pass the ball to Yukai, dodging Yukai forward, and then just using a swirling waters to get her up a little bit further. And then if you can get close enough to, you can score and save your movement.
Yeah.
Which is all it takes. It's usually like a turn two goal. If you can save your movement, score that goal, now you got your movement, plus you get to move that ball 4 inches. If it doesn't land on a model, it's yours.
Yeah, Yukai reminds me a lot of like Miners when they first came out. Because when I played Miners when they first were released, I could almost get three goals in turn one. That didn't usually happen. Usually it was two goals turn one and then one turn two. But I feel like you can do that a lot with Yukai, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, game's over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the really powerful play, I think, is in the link between Fathom and Angel.
Yeah.
Because Fathom can score a goal. You don't have to declare linked until after the goal kick. So depending on where the goal kick is, if it's favorable to you, you link to Angel, go grab it.
I like the small changes they did to Angel too. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think so. She's definitely seen a lot more play. She's pretty much better into navigators and to Yukai. That's about it. She's probably like a number four striker on a Corsair team.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Basically, now she has just ways to get efficiency without having to allocate influence. Like just her receiving the ball, she gets an influence. And I forget what else. There's something else that procs like nimble to get put up or something. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, after she scores, she can get nimble as well.
Yeah.
Yep. And it makes her a very influence efficient model.
Yeah.
You know, you only really need to give her ever one influence, because if she gets the ball, she can then go super shot and score, sprint and score.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I enjoy Corsair. I like the sumo wrestling. That's always fun. So I'm pretty excited to try that once I get the fish stuff. See, the thing is with Shark, I feel like I want to play him just for the feels, you know, like, oh yeah, this is like old school Guild Ball. But he does seem like he's almost lacking something now. Like him losing
the
ring was pretty big.
Yeah, he's outdated. He needs to be updated a little bit. So hopefully if we see a season five, we'll see some Shark love.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of just in an embarrassing spot when you compare him to other goal scoring captains.
Yeah.
You know, like how is he going to compete with Brisket and Corbelli?
Yeah.
Right. Like he was like the original premier goal scoring captain. And now like he's like so generic at it that like he doesn't really seem to like have, I don't know, anything special about him.
Before season four, he had Gut and String, right? So he would pop his legendary. He would Gut and String a couple of models, score a goal, and then, you know, knee slider out or something. And next thing you know, your opponent's team just can't move anywhere. So, I mean, that was overly oppressive, but now it's just kind of like he's fine. It's kind of
that
weird.
Legendary still gets on that -4/-4 movement, still pretty debilitating.
Yeah, if you hit it on the, I used to play Brewers in like season three, and, it was always bad when you went against Shark as a Brewer player, because they just, you'd hit, I mean, most of your stuff's slow as a Brewer player anyways. So you have to like pop a bunch of heroics and, you know, you have to put some buffs out there and then you can move like a normal person. But until then, you're just screwed. Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys had a pretty good time. Zach, I would ask like what you're playing mostly right now, but it seems like you're just like the demo guy right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of the demo guy right now. It's been primarily minors, admittedly, just so I can show off some of the stupid jank, because I just find them entertaining and fun. But also because like they don't particularly hit all that hard, so I'm usually just like I'm a score some goals, I'm a run up, let you punch me, and I'll try and shove somebody off the side just, you know, for the lulls, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've primarily been playing that. I've been jumping around guilds because I own quite a few of them. I've played two games with my butchers though. One with Filet, trying out some of the newer models. Or not new, but updated models. And then I played one classic boar game at Adepticon, and I felt bad afterwards. So I'm just going to go back to the other stuff for now and just kind of keep training up my local meta. Because at this point, we're only a couple away from having like eight in the area. And like once I have eight in the area, I can start like doing local tournaments and have it be self-sufficient. Damn. And that's going to be... That's what I'm excited about, because I've never ever had that. It's usually just been like the three of us. So this sudden growth in my area has me really encouraged.
Yeah, it's just it's an easy game to pitch and just a fun game to play. So it's not like a hard sell, right? Like we got, I think we have our Malifaux meta, and it seems like almost everybody in the Malifaux meta has like a Guild Ball, you know, team. So we are actively trying to get new players, but we have a bunch of people who have stuff. So it's just kind of one of those things where it's pretty easy to kind of segue into it when you want a different game.
Yeah, I mean, Scratch is an entirely different itch, right? Like, it's just so fast and agile compared to Malifaux being so dense and mental.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, to me, like, it's an entirely different expectation experience playing either game. And that's kind of what helps for me personally, like, separate some of these games I've been playing is, like, they have an entirely different feel for me. And man, it's just like Guild Ball scratches an itch that nothing else really quite gets. And I'm just incredibly thankful that it's back. And I know Tony has been too, because like he's just been like shitting out games constantly.
Nonstop.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
How many games did you get in at Adepticon?
I think I got 9 games in the 2 days, but 7 of them on Saturday.
Sheesh.
That's pretty impressive.
Zach Gray played 7 games. Yeah, Zach played 7 games, 7 different captains, which I thought was pretty cool.
Man, you just brought a bunch of Guild Ball stuff in.
Well, he was borrowing everybody's too, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so.
Like, I ain't never played this before. I'm just going to play it.
Yeah, right? So I put the link in the chat to the event that I went to. We actually had like 8 people in that event, and there were some like people who played like a good amount of Guild Ball, but we also had like a handful of like newer players there in this 8-person event. And I was just sitting there, you know, casually the person with a podcast throwing down Vet Rage on the table.
That's so mean.
Is it? Is he good? Is Vet Rage good?
I reckon he's all right.
I tell you what, my actual hardest game was the first round I played against a blacksmith's team.
Oh, yeah. And
man, that was just a fighty, brawly, tough game to play. The only reason I won that game is because I received the ball. So I kind of like, you know, kept it back a little bit. But also I made the blacksmith player kind of come to my side of the table. And I kind of fought around this cover that was kind of near my half. So it was just kind of just scrum the whole game, just fighting in the middle of my basically side of the pitch. So it was a very grindy game. I actually ended up losing Rage and Harry in that game.
Yeah, honestly, like blacksmiths, like getting them to come to you is really beneficial. 'Cause I mean, if you let them just bubble up and you go to them, you're probably going to lose that fight.
Even though, like, I got a couple of takeouts eventually, but man, there was one point where I think it was Cast and there was another apprentice, but I was just like, man, I forgot how hard these stupid apprentices can just beat the crap out of you. It was not good. That's how I think Rage took like 8 to the chin in like one swing.
That sounds like Sledge.
No, I was surprised. It was Cast. I think Cast has like 6 on the top end or something.
Okay.
And I was just.
So they wrapped?
Yeah. And I just was not expecting it. Plus, he threw Tooled Up on somebody. And I was like, oh, this is bad.
It's funny. Like, one of the last blacksmith games I recall playing from way before, I couldn't break through their bubble at all. And I think I actually ended up winning that game with 3 goals.
Yeah.
Even though I'm playing butchers, because like I'm like, screw it. Like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah,
I'm
just going
to have Brisket and Cinnamon steal the ball.
Cast has a momentous 6. So she was doing 7 damage on the top end.
Jesus.
Yeah. I was like, I don't remember Cast doing this much damage. What the crap happened?
Yeah, it gets crazy when they get like instruction and all that stuff too.
Yeah, and this was the first time I played against Culverin and Cutlass, which once again,
they're fun.
I was surprised Cutlass had 6 damage on the top end. I'm like,
yeah.
You look at that you know, you look at that apprentice and you're like, oh, this must be like some kind of support, fun loving squatty. And it's like, no, she has, you know, 5 and 6 damage on the top end. It's like, good Lord.
Yeah. She's firing cannonballs at you through Culverian and
yeah,
rapping for 9 damage.
Yeah. Cause I spy was getting put out and then tooled up. Yep. And I'm just like, what is happening right now? But once again, luckily I was able to abuse Anvil. Anvil was definitely the target for my scything blow setups to kill all of the apprentices.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Gotta abuse those low defenses.
Oh yeah, because he was like knocked down with snared because I brought Minx, and I was just like, yep, I got like 20 dice here and I'm just gonna scything blow everybody.
Was this before or after the errata?
This was before, technically.
Okay, so it was before she got back to the shadows back and her damage was adjusted.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was actually right after it, but I totally forgot about back to the shadows like the entire game.
Fair.
But yeah.
So she clearly felt fine then.
But yeah, blacksmiths, it's like bring as much anatomical as you can and just try not to... The cool thing is, though, since I brought Harry, I was able to push like the apprentices and the masters kind of apart from each other, so they didn't benefit too much from each other. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, even though you kind of forget some of the specifics, I was still remembering, like, hey, you don't want these models together.
Right.
Very important.
The definitive bubble team, those ones.
Well, blacksmiths are always cool because it's not even like a bubble team. It's like they can like be pairs instead of like a giant bubble. But then when you bring those pairs together in a giant bubble, it gets even worse.
So, it's compounding interest.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was actually my hardest game because it was just, man, I forgot how hard those blacksmiths can just smack the crap out of you.
It's always nice when your first game is the toughest one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I played another guy who's really cool, but he played Honor, but he never played against Union before. And I was like, oh, sweet summer child, this is not going to be good.
Yeah, I see you 12-0'd him.
I tried to give him points, but it's just, I tell you what, one thing that never changes is Mist being a freaking hot mess and missing goals.
Oh,
still happens. I don't know why.
Is that why I keep hearing people say nobody brings Mist?
I mean, they do because Mist is a good scorer, but I don't know what it is. Just Mist misses more goals than any other model I've ever brought in this game.
Yeesh.
But super good. Just misses. It's kind of like
super good, except for when it matters.
It's like the Flint syndrome, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I had the same problem with Angel. Her 4 dice kick misses all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just weird. It's like almost a model gets a stink like that on them, and it is like, you shouldn't miss all these goals, but you are. Because that's actually...
Statistical anomaly.
That's actually was the problem with that blacksmith game, is I sent Mist to get the ball off of, I think it was Culverin or... No, I had the ball, and I just needed one momentous result to score to end the game. And I whiffed, and I didn't get the momentum. So then I'm like, well, now I need to try to run away. Oh man!
But yeah. How about your last game?
The last game was against Brian with Hunters, so that was a fun game. I'm trying to see. Yeah. He scored a goal with Edge, and then I killed Edge.
Ah, right.
Yeah, I kind of also. So you guys can probably talk to this a little bit too, because I think you might have experience against it, but also with it. So playing a murder captain like Rage, there was in the black or in the Mason's game, and also in this game versus Brian when he was playing Theron. So I was playing against Honor and I was playing against Theron. So I had a full stack on Rage because that's pretty much what you always do. You always just want to put 4. You got a free charge. Things feel good. But I think it was on both the games, I think it was turn 2, if not 3, they had a full stack on Theron, and then my other opponent had a full stack on Honor. And they did not think that Rage had the capability of killing that model from pretty much full to dead. And they kind of waited on it. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go with Rage now. And, you know, you get the free charge. You either pop legendary or pop your heroic. And then things just die, whether you want to bring Fangtooth or you want to bring other kill models like that, right? And I straight up killed those models. And both of them said the same thing where they're like, I did not think that my captain was going to die in one activation.
You're going to learn today.
Well, the key with Rage is, right, you do your free charge because it's free and you usually can get some sweet, you know, damage and stuff and pushes. The pushes are the big thing on Rage. He has, like, on the low end, he has, you know, damage and a push, which helps kind of rearrange the scrum. But then you bring like a 2-inch reach and you bring like a Fangtooth or something. And then you start buying attacks for like Fangtooth. So Fangtooth's over here with Bloody Coin or My Gang. And like you're hitting like 6 damage on the top end or something crazy like that. So people don't realize it. They're like, oh, Rage is going to come and, you know, cut me up. And I was like, no, you're setting up the scrum with Rage, doing a little damage, and then buying attacks for your other models just to kill things. And it gets brutal.
I'm going to have to pass that on to Griffin so he's going to learn.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't felt the pain of Rage just like coming in and buying attacks for Fangtooth and buying attacks for Gutter. Like if you have Gutter set up on like 2 or 3 models where you can probably get a Scything Blow off on all of them, like you just start to kill everything.
You just spam Scything Blow over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, there's times where you can get Scything Blow and Wrap to damage. So the problem with Gutter that you got to kind of get a feel for is you can't engage your own models as well, because then you're doing Scything Blow damage to them. So when you're setting up the scrum, you got to kind of position the scrum where nobody's near Gutter except for the opponent. So it gets a little tricky, but you know, once you kind of pilot Rage a few times, you kind of figure it out.
Yeah, and you find the right target and it's going to hit all the time.
Yeah, that's why I feel like when you play against Vet Rage specifically, you don't want to bring, unless you have a lot of armor like Blacksmiths, I feel like you don't want to bring like a defense 3. I think you need defense 4 and up to try and avoid these bloodbaths. Which is why I think Fish is actually a tough matchup for Union, specifically Rage.
Yeah, actually, I saw
good defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of that in the demo game that we ran yesterday where like Bushel got a goal early on and she was sitting in cover. And like they just could not hit her to save their life. He like threw half his team at her, and it's like, oh, one hit, two hits, one hit. You know, it was actually kind of like sad to watch him just like throw all those dice and just whiff over and over again.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because you kind of get to a point in an activation where you just get frustrated. You're like, well, I'm just gonna keep doing this. It's like, like man, sometimes you just need to be like, okay, this isn't working. I need to go do something else.
Right.
I can't remember what it was. I bought, was it Fangtooth? I bought an attack with somebody and I was looking for a specific result. And it was one of those instances where it's like, well, I mean, I missed twice, but what else am I going to do with this one influence? I'm going to try it again. You just got to keep swinging sometimes.
Sunken cost fallacy.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, but I mean, that's why I play Butchers though. So I don't really have to think about those nuances. Attacking with all of my AP is almost always the best choice.
Yeah. And the Mason game that I played though, I did feel bad playing against him a little bit because he's a newer player, but you know, when you're in a tournament, you don't know how new somebody is. I mean, they can be like, oh yeah, I'm kind of new.
Right.
But you know, I'm also not looking to, you know, lose a game because I underestimated somebody. So it kind of got to the point where I got to like 8-0 and I was sitting here like, oh man, like it's kind of one of those things where you understood it's like, oh, I kind of know your crew a little better than you do. And yeah, because like he brought the monkey, but I basically just locked the monkey down so he couldn't counter charge. And I was just using different models with anatomical to get through all the armor crap. And plus there was, he made a mistake where there was a piece of terrain and he kind of split his Mason's crew. So that allowed me to take most of my team to just kind of attack that side. So I didn't have to deal with like Granite because she kind of went that way. So yeah, I was like, yeah, as a Mason player, you generally don't want to split up.
Right, right.
Which
funny how like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
I was going to say, and that's one of the things I actually like about Guild Ball, just that you get rewarded for playing your guild kind of the way it's designed to. And if you don't play it to their strengths, you tend to struggle a lot of times. So, you know, if you're playing a bubble crew like Masons, it's like, yeah, you kind of need to stick to that style. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. And same thing with, you know, Vet Rage. I'm like, okay, well, I want to push and engage with multiple models. Otherwise, I'm not getting the optimal plays that I would if I'm doing stuff like knocking you down and other things I don't want to be doing. Just like fish, you want to score goals unless you're playing Corsair.
Yeah, stay away from the scrum. Ah, I play Corsair as a 3-0 captain.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, see, if I play Corsair, I just want to throw models off the pitch.
That's fun to do, but I try to play him as a 3-0 captain. I try to do every one of my games with 3 goals.
Yeah, for some reason.
I guess my reasoning is...
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess my reasoning is that third goal is so hard to find, and just trying to find goals was kind of a new thing to me, because mm-hmm. I played Farmers up until this. So it was just beat, 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 score one goal.
Yeah.
So trying to find all these goals is really difficult. So playing Corsair as a 3-0 captain, I think, has improved my game because I'm really seeing where the goal runs are all over the place now.
Yeah, and Corsair
to the center.
He's like a 4-8 kick, right?
Yeah, 4-8 kick, and he can steal the ball from you from 6 inches away. So yeah. If you can get him to center field, he's a total goal threat.
Yeah, I got to get back into – so I got to get back into Engineers, which I'm kind of wanting to play Brewers next, but – Engineers are kind of the same way, where you can really find the ball in some really interesting situations with like different engineer models.
I've been playing into Engineers the most probably since we've been back, and there's some crazy, crazy games. What between Spade and Nomad, the goals that I've seen are crazier than just about any other goal team.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to put Nomad on the pitch just because his threat and stuff just... I mean, he has a cool legendary. He's also very flexible, like in what you can do with him. Cause yeah, he can score goals, but you also can just increase his move, his tack. He just seems like a very flexible model.
Yeah. If you kick with him, he's like a first activation goal threat if you don't hide that ball immediately.
Yeah. I mean, how terrifying is that, where you have like Nomad, they bring like velocity and they bring Spade. So you just have these like three dynamic like threats to the ball.
It's fast goal scoring. Because basically I've been seeing kick with Nomad, steal the ball and score. And Spade can score at will. Yeah. So there's two goals your first turn.
Yeah. And then you bring like Pin Vice and she's hunting down the ball.
Yeah. So it can get pretty crazy with them Engineers.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because I've been talking on the Discord with a lot of the Engineers people, and a lot of them seem kind of down on Ballista. And I'm just like, man, I kind of, you know, I like Ballista a lot. Like, he's a fun captain. I do miss his legendary, though. His legendary used to be better because you not only got the effects of what it does now, but whatever was in the ball path got knocked down. So it was just this line of just knocking down models and increasing your, you know, your ball scoring range. It was good fun.
My friend Derek's Ballista play is the reason I started playing Corsair as a 3-0 captain.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he just kept, even though Corsair's sturdy, he knocked down the rest of the team. And he would just, was it floor bolt that he's knocking people down with Ballista? Then Salvo comes in, floor bolts, and then he plays Hoist, who comes in and true replicates floor bolt.
Yeah, the deadbolt just to knock him down, do 3 damage, you push him.
Deadbolt, that's what it is.
Yep, and then you hit him with the breach. Oh man.
And I'm just, and he does that, and somehow he's still outside of Corsair's range.
Yeah.
He still gets second winds or whatever himself back out of Corsair's range. It was annoying.
Yeah, I like Ballista in a lot of crews that are trying to like hide the ball, because you're like, all right, well, that model back there you have just hiding the ball, I'm going to go ahead and knock him down with Deadbolt, and now I'm going to go do things.
That's why I like bringing Salvo when I play Miners. Just range, knock down, and snatch the ball back up with Fissure or something. And
yep.
I mean, it's just like printing money at that point.
Yeah, man. I just found my alternate Miner Salvo model. I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I forgot I had this.
It's so cool. It's sick. Those Miner alts are like some of the better ones, honestly. And
yeah,
I mean, we've already had a conversation about Colossus, that just being the definitive best version of Colossus that exists.
Yeah, that old Colossus model is just, it's not a good model. He's power, you know, I got so my power goofy fist up in the air, and I got this huge apron that's just flapping around everywhere. Surprised it doesn't get caught in the gears of his machine.
Right. Looks like he's like swinging around 2x4s with like fists drilled to the end.
Yeah. Yep. And I also found the alt sculpts for, what is it? Angel and whatever the little navigator dude is that's only worth one VP if you kill him.
Horizon.
Yeah. So I got that alt model too. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm ready for all this fish crap that's coming in.
It's funny because, my girlfriend just bought some fish and navs from a dude downstate, painted already.
Oh, nice.
And I swear to God, it came with like every alt model I could think of for those teams, except for the captain for the navigators, I think.
Even the elusive, like,
so, yeah.
Limited edition Kraken.
Nope, no Kraken. Edition. No, you got limited edition grayscales, though.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm very jealous of that team. I was the one that got to deliver it to her, so I got to look at them all. It's like, oh, I should slip her mind. She'll never know.
Well, that's half the reason I had to play Union, because, you know, my buddy Rich, that's the crew or the team that he had, like, it's pro-painted, and I'm just like, yep, I got to show off this sweet paint job.
Yep.
And it was.
I swear, like Guild Ball is like the game where I think I've seen the most like genuinely good paint jobs. Because I mean, I've played lots of Malifaux and everything, but like for whatever reason in Guild Ball specifically, it seems like people go like out of their way to make sure they have incredibly painted models. So like, it's funny, like even like in my local area, like we all have stuff that was like pro painted, right, basically. And I don't know why, but for whatever reason, we just feel compelled to make sure our stuff is like really nice.
Yeah. I mean, you have six models on the pitch.
That's what I was going to say. In Guild Ball, it's, you don't have as many models to paint, so you're going to do an extra special job of painting them as opposed to my thousands of orcs.
Well, plus each model has so much flavor to it, right? Because it is its own specific person or animal or machine. So, I mean, it has its own character into it. So I feel like a lot of people like to bring that out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are no rank and file kind of models. Everybody's a special character. So.
Yeah, because even in Malifaux, that it's a skirmish game, you still have some models where it's like, okay, yeah, this is just like a minion and there's three of them, or, you know, there's five of them, and yeah, you know, I'm going to use them and they're cool, but you know, who cares about them? They're going to die anyways.
Right.
Well, one thing I want to ask before we finish this thing up in a little bit is, so a lot of people coming back to the game, a lot of new players coming into the game. Yeah, are there any general tips or tricks or things in the game of Guild Ball that maybe you guys would recommend for newer players kind of coming in?
I would recommend to a new player learning how to play on the clock as soon as you can. That's just me personally. If you have any intentions of playing in any kind of tournament,
yeah,
which I think is the most fun part of Guild Ball.
And honestly, like it's really not that difficult to actually play and get within clock time. Griffin, like on his third game, played on clock and made it within time just fine. So like I think so long as you don't like severely suffer from analysis paralysis, I think it's actually far less in, like it's intimidating at first, but like once you do it a couple of times, you realize it's nowhere near as bad as you had built it up to be. As for my suggestion, pick six models and just play the shit out of them over and over again. Just learn those six. But yeah, I mean, to my point, just play six models over and over again until you get real good at them, know them like the back of your hand, and then call that that. Then move on and start learning the other things.
Absolutely, that's a good idea. Also on the clock thing, I mean, nobody wants to play a three-hour game of Guild Ball. God, so if you can just get your games down to an hour and a half, that's two games in the time that you would normally play one. So you can get two games in.
I mean, that's one of the benefits though of Guild Ball is like how quick and snappy it can be. It's very limber.
Yeah.
So like getting in quick games just means you get to play more games.
Exactly.
And like once you get good at it, you score real fast and you play even faster games.
And when you're showing up at a store at 6 o'clock and they close at 10, you don't have a whole lot of time. You can only get, if you want to get two games in, you have to do it on the clock.
Right, so. Absolutely. And even if you're like not doing it like to be super serious, just doing it for the sake of the practice, it maintains that the game stays within that time frame no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. So if anything, you're just doing yourself a favor by playing on clock in that regard, just because it basically sets you up on a schedule so that you can get that game in, move on to the next one. And, you know, just maximize your time as much as possible.
Yeah. You know, you're going to end up with a couple rushed activations. I mean,
happens.
That happens to the best of us, you know, to everybody. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the rushed activations. You're going to get to the point where you know what? This is my last activation because I ran out of clock and I'm going to take my time with it and really try to find something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Totally. I mean, I've done that, you know, like I'm sitting there playing boar. I'm like, all right, well, I'm throwing six attacks into you. So like, there's no way to make this super quick anyways. I'm just going to do what I got to do.
Yeah. And I can't just quickly roll the dice. That's three hits. That's four hits. You got to be able to see them. I got to show them to you. Right. Look, there's four hits here.
Yeah. No, nobody likes rushing through seven attacks. Right.
Right. Momentous four, momentous five, momentous four, momentous three, momentous two. Did you get that? What?
Nope. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on at all because I am rushing through and the TO is looking at me all angry like.
Right? So everybody gets those games, but it's just a matter of just speeding the games up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the problem we're having in Bay City is that the games are... they can only get one game in. So once we start getting faster, we got a lot of new players though.
For sure. I'm going to message Pete real quick. Since the captain of a ship abandoned ship before we finished recording. But if for whatever reason this is able to get saved, thanks for listening to us talk nonsense about Guild Ball. And thanks for listening to Rage Quit Wire. Do all the socials, all the other nonsense. Pete would really appreciate it if you give him $1 each month. And thanks.
I think I'm going to sign up and give him $1 each month.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that as soon as we're done.
Yeah, I've been a patron for years now, actually, funny enough.
Yeah.
I don't really think I take advantage of it nearly as much as I should. I think I spend more time actually on the podcast than in situations where I could sit here and listen. But
if there's more Guild Ball stuff, it's definitely worth the money.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I think he intends on being like one of the premier Guild Ball podcasts. Most of the other guys, I mean, they've been putting stuff out too, but Pete's pretty consistent about it, you know.
Yeah, no, I listen to them all the time, even if it's about Malifaux.
Right.
I don't play Malifaux anymore. But
you're back to your favorite game.
I am. I'm so happy.